Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/radiodetectives. Today's program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. And I want to thank Francis and Eddie, who supported us by mailing in checks to Adam Graham, P.O. Box 15913, Boise, Idaho 83715. Now, I did want to mention to Eddie, if he is listening, that unfortunately his check was mutilated in the mail. Unfortunately, entire top corner was missing. The bank would not take that, so that check has been shredded. Appreciate you sending along. You can also become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters for as little as $2 per month. And I want to thank John for becoming our latest Patreon supporter at the Seamus level of $4 or more per month. Again, thank you so much for your support, John. Well, now it's time for today's episode of The Man Called X, and we're going over to NBC. And this one's going to have a bit more backstory at the start because there's about a 2-year gap. And we're going to talk about how the series came back. And a lot of it goes back to some of what we were talking about last week with how CBS was doing these talent raids and how NBC responded. In many ways, NBC still managed to stay competitive. They still had some popular comedy series that remained, such as The Bob Hope Show and Fibber McGee and Molly. Also kept The Great Gildersleeve, even though they had to change stars with Willard Waterman coming on board. They also did a lot of things with, you know, musical variety comedy stuff, particularly with The Big Show. I won't get into all of that. But they did something really different with detective programs. While CBS really strongly leaned into hiring people who were known mainly as radio actors, NBC noticeably in the late 40s and early 50s really leaned in to hiring people who had had successful screen careers. They did programs with Dick Powell, Sidney Greenstreet, Dane Clark, Frank Lovejoy, Joel McRae, and as we've heard on Saturdays for the past few weeks, Douglas Fairbanks Jr. And of course, there were exceptions, most notably Jack Webb on Dragnet. But I think it's fair to say during this era that one way that NBC tried to compete with CBS was by bringing star power to its radio programs. Now, in some cases, the star was kind of on the wane, as was the case when Frank Sinatra got signed for Rocky Fortune. But nonetheless, they went with people who audiences had connected with on screen and who were more household names as opposed to CBS. In the summer of 1949, NBC recorded a summer series called Dangerous Assignment. Dangerous Assignment starred Hollywood tough guy Brian Donlevy as an American secret agent and troubleshooter named Steve Mitchell, who traveled around the world solving mysteries and righting wrongs in an effort to protect the American national interest, which is very similar to The Man Called X. The series ended after a 7-week summer run, but then came back in February and had a pretty good run over radio. It was still running at the time that The Man Called X returned. So in many ways, NBC was kind of doubling down. I think it's reasonable to assume that Dangerous Assignment was pretty well liked. So adding The Man Called X to that lineup made a lot of sense for NBC's desire to hold listeners. At any rate, that's the background. So let's go ahead and get into the first episode of The Man Called X of the 1950s. The original air date, October the 13th, 1950, and the title is Custom Cigarette. ¶¶
The National Broadcasting Company presents Herbert Marshall as The Man Called X. Wherever there is mystery, intrigue, romance, in all the strange and dangerous places of the world, there you will find The Man Called X. The Istanbul Express is speeding through the night, en route from the fabulous city of Baghdad. The next stop is Ankara, Turkey. Aboard the train is Ken Thurston, the man called X. Suddenly, the door of his compartment bursts open.
You are Mr. Thurston. Mr. Ken Thurston.
That's right. Come in.
Not in time, Mr. Thurston. Here, take this. Keep them for me, please.
Huh? Cigarettes?
Much more than that, as you know. That box of cigarettes contains... Lights. The train lights have gone out.
Yeah. It looks like they... Wait. Quiet.
Compartment door.
Down, get down fast.
Yes, Miss Brooks?
A call for you, sir. It's Mr. Thurston.
Oh?
From Kayseri, Turkey.
Kayseri? What's he doing in... Oh, never mind, Miss Brooks. Put him on.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Chief.
Ken, you should have been in Istanbul by now. What are you doing in a place called Kayseri?
They stopped the train here for a few minutes. You see, I met a beautiful girl, Chief.
A beautiful... Now, look, Ken. Your report at the consulate at Istanbul is more important than a dozen girls.
The police don't think so.
The police?
Yeah. She was killed in my compartment on the train about 2 hours ago. Over a box of cigarettes. Custom-made by Kupyan Tobacconists of Ankara.
Ken, what in blazes are you talking
Chief,
about?
Chief, the customer's name is printed on each one of those cigarettes. In this case, it's Henry Evers.
Well, what's the... Henry Evers? Good Lord, Ken.
Yeah, that's the way I felt about it. Hank was one of the best men the Bureau ever had.
But Evers was murdered in Ankara during the war.
That's right. On his way back from a mission into Germany, remember?
How could I forget? When you're tipped off that the enemy is working on plans for a radio-controlled rocket bomb with an atomic warhead...
Yeah. We never did know for sure whether Hank found those planes or not. But if he did, and was smuggling them back home when he was killed...
We went over all that at the time, Ken. If any other country had them, the Bureau would have heard of it by now.
What if Hank had stashed them away someplace? And they've been lying there ever since. And a certain foreign country's agents have just got wind of it. Chief, that's why I'm getting off this train at Ankara.
But what about those cigarettes?
I slid them open, Chief. You want to guess what was in them?
Ken, information about those plans.
No. Tobacco.
Come in.
Please forgive this intrusion, Mr. Thurston, but it was necessary for me to speak with you.
Oh, well...
I am a man of incurable curiosity, Mr. Thurston. When I learned of the poor, unfortunate girl who was murdered in this compartment just before we stopped at Kayseri, but I forget my manners. My card, sir. It will introduce me.
P. Lebedev, Wholesale Tobaccos.
Yes, only the most excellent tobaccos, Mr. Thurston. There is a fine art to cultivating a fragrant, mellow leaf, you know.
Yeah. You were talking about your curiosity and a murdered girl.
Yes, so I was. You know, Mr. Thurston, I have always felt that some invisible bond exists among people who travel together. That is why I could not sleep tonight until I learned more about her. No doubt she was an old friend of yours.
What makes you think so?
I am not one to be blind to the obvious, Mr. Thurston. She was in your compartment at a late hour of the night.
Well, so are you.
Yes, of course. Undoubtedly, you knew her name.
She didn't have time to introduce herself, Mr. Lebedev.
Too bad. It would have made things so much easier for the police. They have been unable to identify her, you know.
That bush you're beating around is getting pretty big. How about coming to the point?
Well, there is no point, Mr. Thurston. I merely wish to congratulate you upon the ease with which you convinced the Kayseri police of your innocence. But then you were wise enough not to mention the name of Sperrison, weren't you?
Sparrison?
But then you do not know Sparrison, do you? Of course not. How could you?
You'd better stick to cultivating tobacco, Lebedev. You won't do very well with me. And speaking of tobacco, you have a cigarette?
I am embarrassed, Mr. Thurston. It was unpardonable of me not to offer you one sooner. Please, try one of these.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Custom made by Kupian Tobacconists of Ankara. And I see your name is printed on them.
Yes, they are truly remarkable cigarettes, Mr. Thurston.
No, I don't doubt it. Maybe I'll have Kupian make up some for me.
Unfortunately, I'm afraid you will find that rather difficult.
Oh?
The Kupians cater only to a select list of customers. I do not think they would care to take an order from you, sir. Thank you for a very pleasant conversation. And good night, Mr. X.
I have been desolated by this inconvenience to you, Mr. Thurston. I assure you, delays like this are not customary at Hotel Imperial, but your room is ready for you at last. I'll have the boy take you up at once. Boy? Boy?
You were ringing for me?
Oh, no, no.
Show this gentleman to room 219, please.
219? Such a hole in the wall. Now room 322, for instance,
would
be...
You will show this gentleman to room 219.
Okay, but he won't like it. This way, please. Hello, Mr. Thurston. Glad to see me, Mr. Thurston. Hmm? I thought you would be surprised to see me. Huh? Yeah. Well, naturally, you want to know what I'm doing here. Well, of course, if you're going to be class conscious about those things...
Pagon, I'm not surprised to see you. I'm not glad to see you. And I don't want to know what you're doing here.
Well, thank you, Mr. Thurston. Thank you. Well, anyways, now that you're here, I can quit being a bellboy.
What makes you think so?
After all these years we've worked together, doing things for me, you wouldn't stop now. Imagine me, Pagan Zellschmidt, working as a bellhop.
I can't imagine you working at anything.
Mr. Thurston, I've worked in every big hotel in Turkey waiting for you to show up. Ever since Miss Brooks told me you were...
Miss Brooks again.
Well, can I help it if she likes my accent? Anyways, I've decided I'll go back to work for you, like before. Without payment, even. Well, maybe there should be a slight consideration.
Dagon, I'm very happy as I am. I want to open up.
This is being very short-sighted, you understand. A reasonable man would...
Look out, Dagon! Get down!
I told you wouldn't like this room, Mr. Thurston.
It's not the room, it's the balcony.
Huh?
That's where those shots came from. Let's have a look.
Goodbye, Mr. Thurston. The clerk wants me. I hear bells ringing.
Oh, relax. Whoever it was, it's gone now.
People are always shooting at you, Mr. X. Do you have to have so many enemies?
It's an occupational disease.
Well, then you should go to see a doctor. Huh? There's nobody here in this balcony.
It opens onto a dozen rooms. You could have disappeared into any one of them. Wait a minute. Move your foot, Pagon.
Huh?
You're stepping on something.
So what? It's only a half-smoked cigarette butt.
Yeah. With printing on it. Y-E-V.
Now, what could that mean?
It could mean that a man named Lebedev doesn't smoke his cigarettes down far enough.
Good afternoon. Is there something I can do for you?
Well.
I beg your pardon?
No, I was wrong. Everything in an old-fashioned tobacco shop doesn't have to be mellow and musty.
Oh? You do not find Kupians that way?
I don't find a Kupian that way. That is, if you're one of the family.
Yes. I am Marilyn Kupian. And like all of my family, I am here to sell tobacco.
Good. I'm here to buy some.
For a moment, I had my doubts.
I'd like some custom-made cigarettes, Miss Kupian.
Of course. What blend would you prefer?
I'll take the recommendation of the house.
Oh, you have confidence in our choice?
I have confidence in the choice of Henry Evers.
Henry Evers?
Yeah, an old customer of yours. You remember him?
Who are you?
My name's Ken Thurston. Mean anything to you?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Thurston, it does.
What's your recommendation?
Well, leave the shop, now. And do not ever return to it.
That's not the recommendation I was looking for.
It is the only one you will get.
What about Evers? Did he get one like that, too?
Henry Evers is dead, Mr. Thurston. Draw your own conclusion.
Yeah, I have. They're not pretty.
Then you are going?
Sure. If you want Lebedev's company instead of mine.
Lebedev? What do you mean?
The car that just pulled up outside the door. Lebedev is at the wheel. He's got two thugs with him.
But he cannot find me here. He would kill me.
He's tried that on somebody else, I know. But why you?
Well, there is not time to explain. Come with me. Quickly. Before he enters. There is a door at the back of the building through the stock room. We can leave by there.
You can leave, Marilyn. Not me.
But that man Lebedev is a killer. You do not know him.
That's why I'm going to hang around. To get better acquainted. Here. Take this.
What is this key?
It's to my hotel bedroom.
Oh?
219 Hotel Imperial. Wait for me there.
But Mr.
Do as I say. We'll have plenty to talk over later.
All right. Whatever you say, I'll... Ken, in back of you. Look out!
In back of... What was that? What? Who are you? Can't see. My head off.
I see you are recovering consciousness at last, Mr. Thurston.
Yeah. It looks like it. Oh. Who are you?
Colonel Mengus, Turkish military intelligence, at your service.
Who's that? Who's that lying beside me?
Mr. Kupion, the owner of this shop.
Kupion, eh? What happened? Wait a minute, Colonel. This man's dead.
As dead as two bullets in his heart can make him, Mr. Thurston.
Who did it?
I will let you supply the answer to that.
What? Huh?
This Luger I have here has been fired twice. It was in your hand.
I see.
I regret that I must place you under arrest on suspicion of murder.
Why not check with Marilyn Kupion first? She can tell you I didn't kill her father.
It would be rather difficult to get Miss Kupion to testify, Mr. Thurston.
Yeah, why?
We received a call from the authorities in Kayseri about 30 minutes ago. They have just identified the girl who was killed in your compartment of the train. Her name was Marilyn Kupion.
Yes, gentlemen, what can I do for you?
I am Colonel Mengus, military intelligence. I wish a key to this gentleman's room.
Oh, yes, of course. But wait, Colonel Mengus. That will be impossible. This gentleman is not a guest here.
Your memory is slipping. The name's Thurston. I registered here about an hour ago.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir, but there must be some mistake. We have no one here but that name. Here is our book. You can check the registrations for yourself.
Thanks, I will. Sir.
Well, Mr. Thurston?
There seems to have been a fast shovel around here. My name got lost in it. But we can pin this thing down right now, Colonel Mengus.
Just how do you propose to do that?
By going up to room 219.
You say, monsieur, c'est impossible. My bride and I have occupied this room for our entire honeymoon. Is that not correct, mon petit chou, mon bel adieu?
Oui, amour. Oh, mon cœur, what a glorious day.
Are you satisfied now, Mr. Thurston? There is none of your luggage here? The windows are unbroken?
I wonder.
Monsieur, it is just as I have said. My beautiful one and I have occupied this room for 10 gorgeous days. Is that not right, my belle?
Oui, amour, mais oui.
Your pardon, monsieur, madame, for this intrusion. Good day. Come along, Thurston.
Au revoir, monsieur.
Au revoir. Oh, mon.
Mr. Thurston, you are now formally under arrest for murder. Military car will be here at any moment. We will wait for it in front of the hotel.
You're wasting your time playing with murder, Mangers. There's bigger game to be found in Ankara.
Perhaps, Thurston. You will have your opportunity to prove what you say in due course of time.
Is that the car you're waiting for?
What car is that?
Oh, the one right there.
This way, Mr. Thurston, this way.
Hurry, Ken, hurry.
Good work, Pagon. Now, step on it.
Shouldn't we talk about a few financial arrangements first, Mr. Thurston?
Oh, no.
Later, you idiot. Hit that gas.
Absolutely not. I'm a man who believes in cash on the line, strictly. We don't budge one inch until... Oops! We're off!
Colonel Menges told you the truth. Marilyn Coupian was killed in your compartment on the train.
Then what goes? Don't tell me there are two of you.
No, Ken. My real name is Evelyn Rozier. I am Marilyn's cousin. She asked me to use her name at Coupian's tobacco shop while she went to the Turkish border to meet your train.
Well, I suppose it all adds up, but I still don't see why. Now, let's start from scratch. How did Henry Evers and the Coupians happen to get together?
Well, during the war... The Coupians were part of the Allied underground, and Evers asked them to hide some very important papers for him.
Huh?
They were to release them to no one but Evers or to you, Mr. X. And shortly after he left the shop, Evers was murdered.
Why didn't the Coupians try to get in touch with me?
Well, they knew then that someone was onto them, so they closed the shop and left the country.
Then whoever wanted those plans had to wait for them to come back here?
Yes. Yeah. The Coupians returned only last week. Then... Marilyn read of your visit to Turkey, remembered the papers, and left to turn them over to you on the train. They were in a box of cigarettes.
Only she must have taken along the wrong box. Any idea who might have killed her?
It could only have been Lebedev.
Oh, busy little soul. Who is he?
He is a small-time international agent. He works for whoever will pay him the most. But it was one of his men who knocked you out in the tobacco shop.
And who killed Kupian there?
That I do not know. When I managed to break away from that man who struck you down, I went to the Hotel Imperial, as you told me to. Only the key you gave me would not open the door.
Lucky for you, I saw her trying to open it and offered my invaluable assistance.
We compared notes, Ken, and were discussing the situation in the car when you came out with Colonel Menge.
Huh.
A pretty snafu set up, eh, Mr. Thurston?
It boils down, Pagon. Evers' papers are still somewhere in Ankara, and someone's trying to get me out of the way while he finds them. That was the reason he planned that hotel room frame-up. To make sure I'd have no alibi. And that Mangas would arrest me.
Then what do you intend to do, Ken?
Hide out until after dark. Then I'm going back to the tobacco shop.
Uh-huh. Exactly like I figured. And here is just the place for you to hide.
Are you kidding?
Mr. Thurston, I happen to have a room in that lovely building. It is yours for the asking. At the modest little rental, of course.
How much?
Well, considering we've been such good friends all these years, the mere pittance of 1,000 piastres or $80 cash.
Well, here you are, Pagon.
Absolutely not. I won't take 1 piastre less. You're giving it to me?
What choice do I have? Come on.
Yes, Ken.
Believe me, Mr. Thurston, you won't regret this. Such a cozy little nest. Nobody bothers nobody here. Even the mice know this.
That I believe. So long, Pagon.
Goodbye, Mr. Thurston. Have a pleasant... I'm not going anywhere. This is my room.
It was your room. I'm renting it now, remember?
But the police are chasing me, Mr. Thurston, for aiding and debating a murderer to escape.
Good luck, Pagon. You won't get any more than 20 years.
20 years? Mr. Thurston, couldn't I possibly sublet a little space from you? Well, the closet, maybe?
Maybe. For a slight consideration.
I knew you could depend on me. Now, how much?
1,000 piastres.
A thousand? Oh, Mr. Thurston!
Wait a minute.
What is it, Ken?
Halfway down the alley, in the shadows near the back door of the tobacco shop.
Mr. Thurston, that's a man standing there, just like out in the front.
Yeah. Looks like Lebedev's expecting me. He's got all entrances covered.
But, Ken, we have to get into that shop.
Well, we're going to. Yeah, we'll move back into the shadow of this loading platform. Mm-hmm. The wall keeps us hidden from him. Now, if I can only find some... Yeah. Here's one.
What are you going to do with that old tin can?
Toss it out down the alley. Huh? Like this.
Who's there? Speak up before I shoot!
Ooh, he's coming this way. He'll kill us, murder us, maybe even knock us unconscious.
Quiet. All right, let's have it.
What the... What are you doing?
Just this. No.
Oh, Ken, it is hopeless. We cannot find anything here. They have torn this dark room to pieces.
Yeah. Looks like they didn't miss a trick. Unfortunately, they got here before we... Oh.
What is it, Ken? A box of cigarettes.
Yeah. Well, well.
Mr. Thurston, look at the name on those butts. Henry Evers.
Then these are the cigarettes we are looking for. We found them, Ken.
Let's tear open a few of them and see.
There is nothing in them, Ken. Nothing but tobacco. We have found a blind trail.
Well, maybe not. How many cigarettes did Kupian pack in the box?
15, I think.
Well, there are only 11 here. What happened to the other four?
Uh-huh. Maybe somebody smoked them.
Fans for rockets don't make good smoking, Fagon. No. Lebedev must have got them. And if he's only a small-time agent, he won't have contact with any principals. He'll have to sell those plans to someone else.
Sell them? To whom?
Maybe to someone called Sperrison.
Sperrison? Where did you learn about Sperrison?
Lebedev mentioned him on the train. Oh. Tried to make believe he was connected with Marilyn's murder. What do you know about him?
Well, I had forgotten, Ken, but Sperrison was the man the Kupian suspected of killing Henry Evers. Why, he is as big an international agent as Lebedev is a small one.
Do you know anything about him, where he hangs out?
Yes, I do. The Kupians told me Sperrison owned the Byzantium Artware Company in Istanbul. And if Lebedev has gone there to sell the plan...
Yeah, yes. Let's see if we can get in on the bidding.
Wait, Ken. This is the place.
The Byzantium Artware Company.
It's a creepy-looking joint. Only those dim lights shining inside. Maybe the place is closed, huh? So we'll have to come back in the daytime, huh? Well, how about...
Better luck next time, Pagan. Come on.
Perhaps Pagan is right, Ken. It does look deserted.
Sure, sure. Who'd want to buy any of this old junk anyway? Especially this time of the night. Let's come back in the morning, hey, Mr. Evers?
Mr. Evers!
Those shots came from the gallery in the back.
Come on, but stay behind me.
Ken, it's Lebedev. Someone tried to kill him.
So he isn't the one who fired at us from the... Look out now!
Ken... Can you hit him?
Yeah. You all right?
Yes. Yes, I'm all right.
What about you, Pagon? Pagon, where are you?
Right here, Mr. Thurston. I was running to help you, and I got lost in the dark behind this packing case.
Oh, fine.
Oh, there is the man you hit, Ken. He was trying to get away through that window when you...
Yeah.
There is a doorknob.
He is one of Lebedev's men.
Is he?
And look... Look in his hand.
Cigarettes.
Yes. The four that were missing from the box at Ankara. Looks like Lebedev's pal double-crossed him.
Sure. When Lebedev came here to sell them to Spearson, this guy decided he would make the deal.
Ken, open them quickly.
Afraid these may be duds, too.
Oh, no.
Well.
The things we've been looking for.
Yes.
Those? Boy, I could take bigger and better pictures with my number 2 Brownie.
It's microfilm, Pagon. Microfilm of the plans for an atomic rocket.
It is? Well, anyways, that no good Spearson can't gather them now.
Don't be too sure, Peg, huh?
What do you mean?
You are so right, Mr. X.
Mr. X, look. She's got a gun.
Yes.
Drop yours, Ken. Quickly.
Sure.
Mr. X.
Good. Now the microfilm. Throw it to the floor. Over here.
Why not? Here.
Good. And thank you, Ken, for disposing of the opposition. Without your help, it would have been more difficult for me. I might have had to pay for these plans.
You've waited a long time to get hold of them. Haven't you, Miss Harrison?
What?
Of course. Who else could profit so well with them? Tell me, was it second-guessing, Ken?
Hardly. You gave yourself away at the tobacco shop in Ankara when you knocked me out.
Why, Ken, I cried a warning to you.
Oh, yes, so I turned away from you and then woke up with a lump on the back of my head.
Very clever, Mr. X. Is that all?
Not by a long shot. You knew about the real Marilyn's death when only the killer and the police could have known.
Well, even the best of us slip up now and then. You, for instance. Knowing who I really am, you come to Istanbul with me, hoping to get the plans for the rocket. But I haven't. Now there is nothing left for me but to kill you. And now...
Better look behind you before you pull that trigger.
Oh, no, Ken. That trick will not work with me. Goodbye, darling.
Okay, Colonel Mangus.
All right, let me have that gun.
No!
Not,
let go of me.
Not until
let
I have go. That
Peter,
gun!
Peter, she's a woman! You tackle.
Take it easy, Pagan.
Now! All right now. Face that wall. Speak!
Nice work, Mangus. You see, Miss Ferrison, this time you should have looked behind you. But even more to the point, maybe you should have looked ahead. Yes, you and all those like you, who believe you can terrorize the world with your weapons and power and reap a harvest of destruction and enslave peoples. Well, you're wrong, Miss Ferrison, dead wrong. The freedom-loving nations of this world will never pay that price for peace. Remember that. All right, Mingus, take her away.
Now, here is our star, Mr. Herbert Marshall.
Thanks for being with us. Next week, our story is called One Way to Macassar. It is filled with adventure and mystery in the midst of the islands of spice at the back door of Asia. I really think you'll enjoy it. As usual, Pagan Zelsmith was played by Leon Belasco. So join us, won't you, when next I return as the man called X. Good night.
The Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall, is a J. Richard Kennedy production and is directed by Jack Johnstone, with music composed and conducted by Felix Mills. Tonight's transcribed story was written by Sidney Marshall. All characters and incidents used are fictitious, and any resemblance to actual persons or incidents is purely coincidental. And so, until next week, same time, same station, this is John Storm saying goodnight for The Man Called X. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Tomorrow night on NBC marks the premiere of the Hedda Hopper Show. Miss Hopper, who has been writing about Hollywood and its residents for many years, now brings her personality to the air. During the new Hedda Hopper Show, you'll hear your favorite motion picture stars and people of international importance. Listen tomorrow for Hedda Hopper, and remember, too, Saturday night means your hit parade with the nation's top tunes, so listen on NBC. Now, stay tuned for Nightbeat. More good times on NBC.
Welcome back. Well, I enjoyed the episode. I will admit that I was nervous for the first few minutes, that we were not going to get Pagan back right away. I was wondering, are we just going to get Ken for a few episodes? Because I did know that Leon Belasco did appear in some of these NBC episodes. Then he showed up, and I like the idea that there had been a period where they hadn't been working together, and Pagan is wanting to get back into same old situation. And Thurston at this point's like, no thanks. I have made it as long as I have without you, and I think I'm going to be fine. But of course, Pagon was needed and came through in the end. I did love the scene where Pagon rented his place to the man called X, only to have to pay rent to be able to hide there from the police as well. That was a nice touch. I also thought it was interesting to have a situation where he wasn't on good terms with the local officials, which was pretty rare on the CBS series. So this is a good start for latest NBC run of The Man Called X. Listen to our comments and feedback now. We start with the letter from Eddie. He writes, Dear Adam, love your podcast. Great variety that you present. Your in-depth analysis is great. Longtime listener of Great Detectives and other old-time radio podcasts. Very entertaining, and it makes me use my imagination to think deeper. Thanks so much. Well, thank you so much, Eddie. And then we have a comment from via email from Joy Elizabeth, who writes in, I think that Pagon Zellschmidt deserves every cent he gets from the man called X, even though he is a crook. I also think they should pay him more. Also, why does Thurston even have a chief? I've been hearing him decide to go on cases lately without the chief's permission. He just lately says, I'm going to such and such a place, and leaves. Anyway, these are my little thoughts. Thank you for your time. Well, thank you so much, Joy Elizabeth. I'm glad to hear you're enjoying Pagon, and he is definitely, those few minutes where I was afraid we were going through some Pagon-free episodes make me appreciate how much I enjoy having him on the program, despite him being the shady character. Maybe it's because of it. It's almost a balance with, the man called X just being so upright and firm and such a straight arrow. It provides an interesting dynamic when you've got someone like Pagon who's, really got, I've heard the expression larceny in his soul. And it also is an interesting point about the chief, because I'll say this is one thing that you'll find is different when we get to a Dangerous Assignment, which I think will be in about a year and a half, because the way Dangerous Assignment works is that Steve is given an assignment. He goes to the chief, and the chief says, describes the assignment, and then once he's done briefing him, he says, and away he goes. With Ken, it's an entirely different thing where, he's like, let's go ahead and discuss the department jurisdiction. And in many cases, not so much asking permission to do things, but informing the chief to such a degree that the chief understands why he is doing things. So, he has a chief just so that he can inform him of what he is doing and eventually do what he wants to do anyway. It's a very unique dynamic that doubtless many real-world secret agents might be a bit envious of. Again, thank you so much for your comments. Really appreciate it, Joy Elizabeth. And I want to also go ahead and thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you to Sarah, Patreon supporter since July, currently supporting us at the Shamus level of $4 or more per month. Thank you so much for your support. And that will do it for today. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate it wherever you download your podcast from. And if you'd like, we'd also welcome a review. Join us back here tomorrow for Mystery is My Hobby. And next Wednesday, we'll be back with another episode of The Man Called X. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.